Welcome to another episode of Fujoshi NYC. Right here.
Actually, maybe if I increase this volume.
Is there another volume there?
Well, it's the listening volume.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Well, oh, okay. That sounds wonderful.
Much better?
Yeah, sure.
Alright. Start over. Welcome to the next episode of Fujoshi NYC. Ray here.
May.
May, how have you been doing? We're back in the public area now.
Yeah. The better public area.
Well, next time we are able to match up our schedules, we'll go back to Anchor Studios. May, how have you been this week?
Good.
What have you been doing lately?
Played Gudetama Tap for a while.
What kind of game is that?
It's kind of a clicker game.
On the phone?
Yeah.
Nice. So what do you get to do on the Gudetama Tap?
Cook eggs. And then you tap the eggs, you cook, and you get more points to cook more eggs.
And considering Gudetama is an egg, that is pretty gruesome, actually.
He's becoming all the eggs he ever wanted to be, maybe.
Fulfill his destiny?
They're not even all food. I made a glasses egg.
Glasses egg. That's pretty cool.
I'll show you later.
Thank you. What kind of like dishes have you been making out of Gudetama?
There was a banh mi egg.
A banh mi Gudetama?
Yes.
That I never heard of. Do they even put eggs in banh mi?
Not that I've ever eaten any.
Dude, I need to go to like a Viet like sandwich place and ask them like to put an egg in it. You have inspired me.
And there was like a festival Gudetama. I'll show you that one. It's hard to explain. They're like siblings, kind of.
Siblings.
They're dressed in festival clothes. Oh, apparently, nice. I cooked that somehow.
Somehow you cooked that with clothes on, of course. That's such a cute game. Is there something you have to do? Like, is it something that you can go back to? Is there stuff that you have to do every day?
Is there, like, quests? If you do it every day, it's better because then you get more points.
I see.
But, like, I mean, this game's already been out for, like, half a year, I think. So I missed some event stuff.
Oh, there are even events for this.
There was a cat Gudetama or something, maybe.
Nice.
Maybe it'll roll around again this year.
Are there, like, stuff that you have to pick up every day?
Yes. Every few hours, you can pick up soy sauce.
Soy sauce. What is soy sauce for?
It'll give you more points.
Oh, okay. So it's different from the Gudetama Tamagotchi that we have. Like, it's not for food.
Yeah. You don't really take care of them. You just cook.
Oh, that sounds really bad.
Well, and the one we take care of, we're just waiting for it to be eaten, right?
Oh, that's also very bad. By the way, for the Gudetama Tamagotchis that we have, that we've been taking care of, yes, we've seen like a couple of death screens already. I've seen at least one. And there is one where actually there is a death screen, like if you take care of baby Gudetama very badly, it becomes a ghost Gudetama, a Yuretama. So basically, for that one, in order to get, for 24 hours, you cannot take care of it at all. And then it's going to become a ghost. I feel very bad, but that's going to be my next target.
Anyway, raise it naturally and see what happens.
You go do that. The opposite. If you take care of it super well, there is a... I can't even pronounce it. It's a... Chadetama, something like that. It's like a super happy Gudetama.
Oh, Gudetama or something?
Gudetama, that's right. Oh my gosh, that is so cute.
It looks so, yeah.
It's so unlike any of the Gudetamas that we've seen.
I'm using that as my avatar in the game.
Oh, nice. For the Gudetama tap? Great. Well, let us know what other interesting dishes you end up cooking out of poor Gudetama.
I play Tales of Vesperia, the definitive edition, for an hour. Ooh. I was only going to play for like 5 minutes, but then I ended up playing for an hour. I was telling Ananda and he was like, oh yeah, it's a JRPG. Yeah, I mean, the intro is probably an hour.
That's true. So a lot
it's
of cutscenes.
Not an hour.
But close.
He was like, ah, and then you probably have to get to the next save point. I was like, okay, that's kind of true. Except there was a save point, like, immediately after I started. It's just like, well, I want to go here and see too. And then I couldn't go back to the other place anymore, so I just had to continue.
Aww. So once you left that place, you cannot go back.
Yeah, once I went into royal quarters, yeah, I tried to turn back, and he was like, there's stuff I have to do here or something. It's like, I know that, but can I go save first?
For this Tales of game, which console are you playing it on?
Switch.
Nice. So is it a port from the other, or is it a continuation?
Oh, I mean, there's lots of Tales games.
Yes. This is the Tales of Vesperia?
Yes.
So there's only...
Well, it's the definitive edition, so I assume there was a first one.
The first one that was on the PS, so...
Maybe the PS3, I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, let's find out. So it was like PS3 and Xbox 360 and Windows.
I'm glad that the Switch is able to... Like, since it's so new, it's able to, like, you know, have that kind of graphic for the PS3 already.
I guess. Some of the stuff that they put on the Switch probably looks better on whatever original platform that they had for it.
I see. Because people were talking, like, how the PS2 games port very easily to the mobile, like, already mobile phones are able to have that kind of graphics.
Yeah, we have, like, all the first-gen Final Fantasy. All the single-digit Final Fantasies, except for 8, are on mobile.
Where you can play all of them now?
And they're bringing all of them to the Switch, nice. I think.
So for Vesperia, how is the voice acting? Is it English or Japanese?
There's English, but I chose Japanese.
Nice. So it's with subtitles and the graphics are good. How's the storyline so far?
For the hour? I mean, I didn't do much. I play very slowly. I walk around and I try to examine everything and get everybody to say every line possible.
I see. But you're not a completionist, so you just, like, go naturally.
I mean, I am a completionist.
Oh. So you're going to try to get all the side quests and all the...
Yeah. But I save that for, like, when I know they're, like, there's no more to do and
got it,
like, before the final battle,
right? It's before, like, the final battle, go back and then finish all the quests.
Yeah, because that's if it's in, like, all the other JRPGs, that's when you can get some kind of vehicle and go wherever you want.
Nice. So that is true, actually. That is a good way of doing it anyway. Then you would have gotten, like, the ultimate weapon by that time. Then you can beat all the other bosses that you missed out.
Maybe.
On my end, I continue playing Torom, and I got up to chapter 4.
Yo, you play Florence.
Yeah. But I've been playing Torom slowly, and I can't continue in Torom because the boss that I'm up to is, like, level 82, I think. And I'm on level 69, so I won't be able to get to it. The last time you posted online, I think it was this boss that you're up to. So
I think I'm level 74.
Yeah, you're a higher level, definitely. But the chapter level, I think the boss that you were posting about is the one I'm up to right now. So if you continue, then you're a little bit ahead of that. But if you're not, then we're about the same level.
Probably the reason I didn't continue was I couldn't beat it.
Yeah. So wait until I get to... higher level, and then you can get to a higher level, then we can go try. Oh, how's Ragnarok anyway?
It's fine. It's a Korean game, so there's, like, auto battle and stuff, so sometimes it asks me for, like, 30 bandages, and I'm just like, okay, set it to attack these things until I get 30. Well, you can't specify until I get 30 of these things, but I just look at it at the corner of my eye. So there are even somewhere it's like attack 300 of these things. Okay, auto battle that. I think Ananda just leaves it, you know, overnight, so it kills, like, thousands of them.
For real?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
I mean, I'm sure people do that so they can get Zenny and levels and stuff.
So he has at least he's a high enough level that if he auto plays it, it's not gonna die.
He's like max level.
What? Max already?
Yeah.
Did he hack this?
No.
How many nights did he leave it this on?
Mm-hmm. They let you play this on the PC by giving you an emulator.
Nice. So I should just start on the PC then?
Sure.
All right. I'll have you help, like, I'll ask you for help setting this up. Ragnarok. Because, yeah, like, at this point in time, my poor tablet is not able to hold any new games right now. I can probably download Good Atama Tab I want to do on that one, but not anything else. Not until I get the Yuri on Ice concert off of it. On my end, aside from gaming, just continuing with the new season series, and Phoenix Wright started this past week, so it was really good. It started, as mentioned before, with the 1 hour special. The first case of the third game, which is Phoenix when he was in college and he was dating. I want to keep
us.
Yeah, Dahlia. It was Dahlia or Delilah or Iris. Yeah, oh, Iris was the good one.
Yeah.
Right, yeah. Spoilers. But yeah, basically. But yeah, like the second season is basically mostly concentrating on the third game.
So it just like skipped over most of the second
game. Yeah, basically. It just like it did the first case of the second game. Where he got smacked by a fire hydrant, basically.
That's amnesia. But the amnesia mechanic is just so the player can relearn how to play the game.
Exactly.
I don't know what purpose this serves in the anime.
Yeah, and actually this case is the start of the third game. So, like, you know, because, you know, Maya's sister was was taking on as her second case. So this was supposed to be an easy one. But as a 1 hour special, it's actually a very good case though. I do feel like the anime for Phoenix Wright is a little bit dry sometimes because it copies straight from the game itself. But for a good starting case, I'm like easing back into it. I do like it. Yeah. Because the second season like definitely has a lot of a mixture. They did a really good job because they did a mixture of game cases as well as anime originals. And as I said, the one that we watched, the one with the train, was a very good anime original.
I feel like it's the kind of story we could give it a lot of, like, one-shot type of cases.
Yeah, something like what they're doing with Layton. Yeah, Catriel Layton anime has a lot of anime originals, obviously, because there's only so many cases they did for the recent game. So I wonder what they're going to do. They're most likely going to end with the third game. So I'm just like, that's what their big like finale is, and I do look forward to it. It's like it's one of the darker cases of the year of the game series, especially with, you know, like a lot of people who died in that one. But yeah, in any case, and not to mention like but the next episode that they're gonna do for Phoenix Wright is gonna be an anime original. I'm looking forward to it. And you were asking, Francesca does appear quite a bit, a lot of the flashbacks. She's all over the opening and ending song, so... Well, not for the first season, not for the second season ending song, because that was, like, mostly Maya walking around as a normal girl. But she is very prominently featured in the opening songs. And the opening is also sung by Yamapi. So we have another one of his songs. This one is called Reason. I really like it. Looking forward to the single. So I'm looking forward to Never Lose More.
There was something in Finder. It kind of reminded me of Edgeworth and Wright. Like,
yeah.
Because they're supposed to be rivals, but when they work together, it's, like, really cool.
Yeah.
There's, like, a part that, like, Asami and Fei Long, like, when they work together, it's, like, really cool.
When did they work together, though, in the...
Yeah, they didn't really work together. It seemed like they might, and I thought, oh, this will... It's like on the boat when they were getting Akihito back, and it's like they're kind of against each other because they each think one backstabbed the other to take Akihito back.
Yes, but then they form, like, a momentary truce and did not do that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, did not attack each other and just, like, we're going to go off and find Akihito now.
Yeah, they didn't really do that, but if they did,
it would have been cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't remember exactly which one.
It's okay. We'll just reread it later on. It's something that's, like, really fun to look over. We'll talk more about that afterwards at the end. I want to save the best for last. We got to watch episode 10 of Nozaki-kun.
Oh, did you want to talk about Florence or anything?
Oh, yeah. I was able to play Florence, and it definitely is a beautiful game, as you talked about before. The gameplay is very intuitive. As you mentioned, there are no actual, there's no words involved at all except for the titles. Title is like, is basically the soundtrack. So each one is like very beautifully done. Especially I love the talking scenes because when the girl Florence is talking, it's a piano, while the guy is talking is the cello. Yeah, and then the puzzles themselves are just very built into the story. So it's very obvious, like, you know, you get to see what you're able to do, and it's nothing too difficult. No, it's not difficult at all, actually. And what's considered, like, you know, difficult, if there is any, like, you know, stop points in the game, it's because it's part of the story. And you'll slowly figure out, like, how the feel of the story is being told through the puzzles themselves, which I thought was, like, really good. It's not like when I was playing the Layton puzzles, it's like something off, like it has nothing to do with what they're doing. Like if they have to cross the river, they're gonna like, oh, you have to bring these children across the river, like in the puzzle that has nothing to do with what's going on. But yeah, like everything that goes on is like part of the story themselves. So I love how it was done. It's a really, really good game. It's really cheap too. It's like $2.99 in like Google Play. So for people who haven't played it yet, definitely play. The soundtrack is gorgeous. It does, and going with the music, it ends appropriately with the music. So I won't say too much about that. Kind of surprised me how it ended, because I was hoping for, you know, a different one. It wasn't bad at all, though. It's like, it's growing. It's about growing. It's about, like, you know, family, relationship. And it's very simple. It's nothing like, you know, nothing too deep. But then it just hits home because of how simple it is. Anything else you want to add about Florence?
I don't think so.
I'm still listening to the soundtrack, though, because it's beautiful. The soundtrack is awesome. Now for Nozaki-kun, something happy. Episode 10 of Nozaki-kun. I love talking about it because it's such a fun series.
Like Seo.
Oh, we love Seo. Yeah, because this episode started out with Seo and Waka Matsu going on their date. Somehow it turned into a date, even though Seo's like, I just have this ticket, I'm just gonna go with you because no one else wants to come with me.
What? Well, that was the second one. The first one, he asked Nozaki for advice, and Nozaki's like, go, because he wanted more, like,
yeah, because story, like, fun. Yeah, like people were asking, like they wanted, like Sakura was asking, they was like, I want more story to do with these two characters. And he's like, it's not because I wanted to advance their romance. The people they're based on is not advancing anything. And I feel like Wakamatsu just gets roped into these, like, relationship thingies.
I thought Nozaki was going to follow them.
Oh, my God. It would be funny if he does. Like, the back.
He's trying to make Sakura wear the
uniform. Yeah, pretty much. But it was hilarious because Seo is the most inappropriate person ever. It is true because really bad, I can't say it's really bad, but they said it's a B-grade, like, you know, B-grade alien movie. So it's got to be like, you know, those cheesy like effects and everything. Like,
nobody was in the theater.
Yeah, but no one was in the theater. It's like, I know, we know it's already a really bad movie. But let's just talk about the basics. Aside from that, like, she didn't share the armrest. She was eating someone else.
It wasn't like
else.
She was being mean about it, too. When he was like, why are you taking a post armrest? She was just like, oh, I didn't think of it.
Yeah, pretty much. It's like, for naturally for her, she's like, oh, it's here, I'll use it. Oh, you got popcorn, I'll eat it.
Well, I mean, he got two sodas that naturally one should be for her.
Yes, that was actually nice.
He was like, I shouldn't have gotten her that.
Yeah. Like, Wakamatsu was pretty silly, too. Like, yeah, Sale doesn't know how to read moods, doesn't know how to read, like, you know, emotions. Wakamatsu is just like a, like, really not really smart handling, but he did the best he could.
What is he again looking at, like, 70s shoujo manga for advice?
Oh, for advice. Yeah, exactly. It's like, I want to show, okay, first of all, he's not very smart too, because he was like, I want to show him off. But like, if you want to show him off, show her off, why are you going on this date with her? And then, not to mention, it's like, oh, I'm going to check out these, like, 70s shoujo manga to figure out how to tell someone off. I'm going to dress nicely. That's going to really show how much I dislike this person. Not that Wakamatsu dislikes Seo. I think he just, like, she just confounds him.
Yeah.
She confounds a lot of people. But other people know her, so they know how to handle her. But yes, the date. Yeah, back to the B grade. I don't understand. It's like she's cracking up at all the like really disgusting scenes.
Oh yeah, afterwards when they finished, she wanted to not talk about the plot. She wanted to talk about all the blood
and all the gore.
And he's like, stop talking.
Pretty much. He's like, I'm eating an omelet here that has ketchup on it with red rice. You know, because it's ketchup rice. That's really appropriate. Good thing he wasn't eating curry. All that brown stuff.
Oh yeah, it's like normal reactions. He cried at the sad parts, and he was like shocked when people get killed. And she's like laughing and has no reaction at the sad parts.
Exactly. I like the part at the end of the movie where she just basically falls asleep in his lap. Wakes up, eats more popcorn.
In the same position.
In the same position. And Wakamatsu just like, yeah, she's gonna wake up and be all embarrassed. Nope, none of that at all. And then we got to the part where like, oh yeah, I have theme park tickets, no one wants to come with me, I'm gonna go invite these two other people that like,
well, at first when she says it, he's like, well, I don't like that idea too. And then like that her idea is to invite the guy who has a girlfriend or the guy who's like gets nauseous.
Yeah, motion sickness. Yeah, oh, exactly. Yeah. He's nauseous.
So it's like he definitely doesn't want her.
Yeah, exactly. It's almost like me saying like, oh, let's go to Six Flags with Pandora, which doesn't do thrill rides at all now.
I'll do the rides that don't go upside down.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're me back in college.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because shortly after I graduated college, I somehow am able to do upside down rides. It's not my favorite thing to do, though. I still like regular thrill rides.
I like the rides that are like the 3D rides, so that way you're not really going anywhere. But you feel like you're going anywhere, so it's like, I'm safe, but I feel like I could be somewhere.
But we get to continue, though. Seo. We get to continue her singing. We don't get to hear her sing, though. Unfortunately, we get to hear Kashima sing.
It's like she's like a superhero that you can never identify.
Pretty much, because like somehow Wakamatsu never knows she's Lorelai. Lorelai of the Chorus Club. No one will know, except for Nozaki and Sakura.
Everybody knows, except
yeah, actually, him. Pretty much, actually. Everyone else except for Wakamatsu.
Like, what's his name? Hori-senpai went in there. He's supposed to have gone in there to take a look for Waka. And instead he comes out like, oh, what do you think of these musical ideas? Or something.
Exactly. Let's turn our play into a musical. Except that the lead of all the plays, Kashima-kun, can't sing. Like Haruhi. I have a feeling he sings worse than Haruhi. I don't think we ever heard Haruhi sing before.
Yeah.
I think Haruhi in the series they just said Haruhi sings badly and that was it.
Which is ironic because Maya Sakamoto does
her voice. Yeah, Maya Sakamoto, you dude. And then Kashima tries to sing. And it was so funny because Wakamatsu's like, I'm going to spy and see if that is like to hear how Seo actually sings. Except he hears Kashima's voice and cries for Seo. Wakamatsu's like, oh my god, I feel so sorry for her.
She's got no talents at all.
Yeah.
It's like she's in the club, but she can't sing.
Exactly. Another misassumption about Seo. We'll leave Wakamatsu aside. Later on in the anime, we get to continue with Kashima's like play, and thankfully it stays a play and not a musical.
She's happy that she gets to act with Hori-senpai.
Oh my god, that was so funny. That was so cute.
Except they want to, they're like pitted against each other.
Exactly. And Hori-senpai is like, I'm not going to lose. Oh, did you notice? Because I did not realize, even though his voice didn't come to mind, but Hori-senpai's voice is Ono Yuki.
Yeah, I think you mentioned that in the first
episode. Oh, before. I guess in the beginning. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I noticed it again because it was his episode. I was focused on him. Oh, I noticed it even more because Wakamatsu is the voice of, I forgot who it is, but it's the voice of Kisei from Kuroko no Basket. Mm-hmm. Because those two talk to each other and then they sounded, and they talk to each other a lot in Kuroko no Basket because it's Kagami and Kisei. So it was like very naturally in my head. I was like, oh, those two were like, you know, characters that I know. But yes, Hori-senpai. Oh my god, he is hilarious. Because he doesn't want to lose to Kashima, but he is also the character that has to lose.
What? Whose idea was it? Like, oh, let's just get somebody else to play him. It was like,
oh, let's get Nozaki to play him. I love
let's
that
get
idea.
All these people who don't act to act.
Exactly. Let's first of all, they got Nozaki, which has absolutely no... But then Horisama actually makes sense, because in his head he was thinking, he's the one that actually made this play. He should know the characters more, like, you know, he should understand their motives.
Doesn't mean he can act.
Yeah, but the first thing that came to that what happened was he forgot that he created this character in the first place.
He's creating side stories.
Yeah, exactly. He's like, I made this mob character. Who's this who's the character?
I like how he's like calling out side story.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yes.
When he's dying or something.
Yes. Like, oh, I will die, but just my sister Julie in the next town will get avenged.
Yeah, something like that.
It's like, please don't add to the story already. You're already done. I guess it's the writer side of him. Must create. And then he's like, oh, I'm not doing well because I need a costume. And of course, a bear costume is perfect.
He's like, if I had a costume, I could be in character. Well, so are you going to be a bear now?
Sakura was so happy when he was like, I'm going to go put on a costume. Did you notice? Sakura was like, yay, I get to see him a costume. And then after he comes out as a bear, no, I can't see his face. Nakashima was like, this is what you're thinking about? He looks worse with his face off. Sakura's in love. Can't deny that. That could be a good cosplay too. Nozaki in a bear costume.
That'd be hot. I mean, like, hot
temperature. I was thinking in my head, May, that you were gonna see. It's like, how can that be sexy? Are you into bears now?
I mean, they're very broad-shouldered too.
They would be, bears would be good as semis. Isn't like bear a type in the gay? Like,
yeah,
you know,
like Linda's type.
Yeah, yeah, it is. She likes the Kuma type.
Kyokaramao, there's the family of sand bears.
Oh my god, yes.
Bear. It's a whole drama CD. Except their parts are done by like the voice actors for Yuri Wolf.
Yeah.
like talk.
There's a lot of bears in Kyokaramao. Don't forget the Kumahachis, too.
Yeah, but they feel more like they're bees. And the sand bears are more like bears.
Okay. Well, that's true, because the Kumahachi says Nogisu a lot, while the sand bears actually go bear.
Yeah, that's how you say bear in Chinese.
Yes, thank you. That conversation we have, let's just put that aside.
Look, Louisa agreed.
I know she does. Asking you guys is just like asking nothing.
We're totally in touch with our Asian language side.
Oh yeah, totally. Like not. Anyway, but instead of Nozaki-kun like taking over the character, we have Mikoshima taking over the character.
That worked for a good few hours.
Oh yeah, it did. Well, first of all, it was hilarious trying to get Mikoshima like onto the stage. Because all they had to do is praise him.
That's what made Hori Senpai realize
how easy it was to like talk with him.
That he's like he reminds me of somebody.
Easy to like cheer up. Gets depressed easily. Gets nervous. Is anxious. Mamiko.
Mami Koshiba.
And that was funny because Kashima's like, it's like, why is Hori Senpai cheering on Mikoshiba? And it's like, oh no, he likes him.
Keeps like, getting his name wrong.
But then he keeps on getting his name wrong. Exactly.
But I think there's just a sign like, to other people, they might be a sign that he's nervous around him.
Yes. I don't know what's going to happen to that play. Because Hori Senpai is going to go back on stage.
Because it's too much effort to try and get Mikorin to do it again.
Yeah. Oh, well, yeah, they do. I feel like Mikorin is like a cat. Mikoshima's like a cat. Like, you warm up to you one day, second day, totally ignores you. Was there anything from the preview or the end of this episode you want to talk about?
Well, I remember the preview. I forgot what the... what they showed, but you know what they say doesn't match the preview ever.
Yeah.
They were talking about wearing earplugs and stuff.
Oh yeah, because like Kashima's like, sensei, come teach me. Oh, from that point on, Kashima calls Seo sensei.
And Seo told her to get it's like Seo's really demanding without really meaning to be, and Kashima's so compliant.
Ah, I remember what happened at the end. Because it was back to Wakamatsu and Seo now. Because Wakamatsu was staring at Seo talking with a bunch of girls.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, and then, like, and then that was the part where, like, Seo was trying to give advice, except it wasn't helpful advice or, like, just pure mean. The only nice thing that she said in the entire series thus far that I can totally agree with is, like, why are both of you going after the same guy? You could just go after somebody else. That is the nicest thing. Everything else was just like, oh, it's like, oh, I got back together with my boyfriend. Oh, I saw him walk to school with another girl. It is true. In a way, as a friend, I guess I would like let her friends know what's going on.
How does she have friends?
I don't know. But it's just so funny because Wakamatsu's classmate is just like feeling sorry for him. He's like, why is Wakamatsu so obsessed with Sale? All started with the letter of challenge.
Going over to Nozaki's and looking at all shoujo manga.
Yeah, exactly.
For advice.
Exactly. Oh my god. Let's put Nozaki Kun aside. Well, me and I have...
Huh? Oh, the Hug 2?
Hug 2? Well, we watched Hug 2, yeah.
I don't notice. I mean, I don't think... Unless it was, like, considerably different, I'm not gonna notice a difference.
Yeah. There was nothing. Like, we watched the second episode for the BD version release of Dakaichi, but there was nothing. It was fun rewatching it. It was beautiful.
It's always great seeing Saijo cry.
Yeah. I would be, like, more interested to see, like, you know, Dakaichi episode 4, because, as I said, like, there was a lot of off... I can't say it's off-model, because it was definitely not really off-model, but when they were lying on the bed, it was very, very 2D. I remember talking about that before, so I want to know if, like, they reanimated that, but that's a lot to reanimate. It's not just, like one... It's just not, like, one clip. It was an entire scene that was, like, whenever they go back to be above the bed, it was, like, very, very 2D above the bed. But, yeah, episode 2 for Dakaichi was really, really nice. We got to see the honey again all over the floor. That's really hard to clean up. Not that I want them to change that. I definitely am glad they didn't change that. Go back to that relationship that needs a lot more talking. Well, if he's sick, why didn't he say anything? Anything you want to put in for Dakaichi?
I don't think so.
One thing about the previews, I don't know if we mentioned it before, but it's something that's good to put in. For the BD, for some reason, there is an extra preview. There is, aside from the preview that happens at the end of the episode, there is another preview. Is this preview in, like, the special, like, features section of the BD?
I don't know, because I don't go through the title. I don't actually know what it's titled.
I see. So it's like, it's basically when you ripped it off the BD, you just ripped it off. So it's not like you went in. So yeah, but there is another, like, a second preview that includes the title screen for the coming episode. So we don't know yet if it's, like, the commercials or something like that. But
it might actually say in the menu. I just don't.
Yeah, because we haven't gone through the menu, actually. US has the same BD region as Japan, right?
I don't know. Yes.
Yeah, because wasn't it, like, the backwards thingy? I was just thinking, like, we can just play it on my BD player. Or your BD player, you know, can see it. Because I haven't even touched it yet.
I mean, I can play it on the computer. I just rip it so I can see it on my tablet.
Oh, okay. So me and I have been rereading Finder. So we read, like, the one that I focus on was volume 4 and 5. But you read from 1 and 2 5. So yes. You can continue.
Like, it's like, let's get to the boat scene.
Exactly.
I remember, like, actually, like, waiting for the raws of that so I could see what happened, like, back then.
Yeah, because because obviously we got volumes 1, 2, 3 for Finder long time. It was released, like, it was one of the first BLs that came out here.
Yeah, and then they went out of business, and then Junae got them.
Yeah, Junae got them.
And lost them. And
yeah, but Junae did print it again. Junae did release a good number of them. They released up to,
they,
like,
actually, they went through to 7.
Yeah, they did it.
When they lost them, what's it? Sublime put out 8, just so readers wouldn't...
Don't have to wait, and yeah, then now
and
we
they,
got them.
And then they started with 1.
So how are the deluxe versions so far?
They're really cool. At the end, they include more recent stuff.
Yeah, when you mentioned that was really, really weird. So basically, which volume was it? Was it volume 1 or 2 that had that extra that was
the
supposed to be after?
Threesome kind of thing?
Yeah,
that was volume 1.
Damn. So volume 1. So volume 1 had all the stuff.
I was like, is this canon?
Yeah, exactly. Volume 1 had all the stuff, like, you know, from the original volume. it included all the shorts also, like, you know, the superhero and everything.
And the
DNA. Koisuru DNA, whatever. That one. Plants
in Love.
Yeah, Plants in Love.
Number five had, was it four or five? One of those had, like, Seeds in Love. If they hadn't titled it that, it, like, because they titled that, I was like, oh, it's about the fathers. But I'm not sure what I would have thought.
Yeah, what we would be taught. I guess they are, Sublime is obviously catering to old Finder fans, because we are the only ones that will be able to know, like, oh, by the way, like, that short that they put in at the end of Volume 1 happens after Volume 5. Chronologically, it's kind of confusing for new ones, but like there's more than that in Deluxe. Like, you're showing me like interviews and trips and all that kind of stuff that also happens chronologically in between. I think the Hong Kong, it happens after the Hong Kong arc, so it has to be after Volume 5 as well. So they put in a bunch of stuff over there, which is very good. Good going, like, Sublime.
I really needed the Hurt and Comfort stuff I've been pining for. Akihito gets saved more times than I remembered.
Yeah.
Thought. I don't know.
No, 4 and 5 is, like, has one of, Volume 4 and 5, Naked Truth, is one of my favorites. It's, like, that part. It's also, like, the most heart-wrenching, and it's the one that we've been waiting for. Can you imagine? Because for us in the States, like, we had to wait for this for years. Yeah, like, we had scanlations and stuff like that, but, like, you know, the physical release was not released at all. So it took us a huge amount of time for it to actually be brought over. And Yamane-sensei also talked about it as well, because on her end, what is it? I think Volume 4, either Volume 4 or Volume 5 was released during the Biblos situation. Yeah, I think at least number 5 was released under the Libre label. Well, Biblos, like, shut down during that time, during that year, and Libre took over. So Yamane-sensei also had her share of publishing issues. So I remember there where she was talking about that. So you had some tidbits that you wanted to share from all those interviews.
Well, I forgot exactly where she... Maybe it wasn't exactly like that, or the sentence might have been related to something else. But because she was writing... There was a JTB tour
they
did for Hong Kong.
So basically, fans from Japan got to go to Hong Kong.
I think that they're allowed 50 participants.
Yeah, that's what I read, too. That was pretty cool. All these Japanese fans. But it was just so funny because Yamane-sensei was saying, like, because she's not a tour guide, and she was like, I'm just taking them. It's like, oh, this location would be, like, you know, might be where, you know, Fei Long did this, or Akihito might have escaped behind this area.
Yeah, like, they went to some markets. Like, oh, tourists wouldn't go there.
Yeah, exactly. It's just so funny. It's like, it's not a kind of tour that I would do. It's not like, it's because Yamane-sensei, like, took a lot of inspirations from, like, areas around Hong Kong. And it's not like Hong Kong has, like, a lot of iconic areas. Like, here's a random alleyway that Akihito escaped to. Here's where they picked up, like, steam buns or something like that. You know,
the railing where he almost jumped off.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I was like, oh my god, these dedicated fans. But I think, like, the best part about that trip would be to be with Yamane-sensei. So what happened during that trip, like, you wanted to share with us?
I like the part where she said their tour guide, she called Mr. KK. It's like, he read a Finder in preparation for the trip. And there's some part where she's like, you realize this is gay smut? But maybe this was maybe that was a comment for when JGP called her and wanted to do the tour. I don't think it's any surprise if the organizer is a Fujoshi.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, like, wow, Mr. KK, you are pretty amazing to see. Like, how much have you read? Well, at that time, like, 5 volumes, I guess. Yeah, I love the interviews. It was really good.
I guess there's a lot of mafia action.
A lot of action. From the mafia onto Akihito. You mean that, right? Eh?
Where they're talking about how round his butt is.
How round his butt is. His butt is really round. The Russian mafia, Yuri, was, like, commenting on it, too.
Oh, was that the part?
That was the part. It was like, this guy has such a round ass. I like the Sublime translations. I haven't really been reading the previous volumes, because as I went ahead with 8, I read I did read 6 and 7 from Sublime, but like number 1 to 5, because we've been waiting so long, so as soon as the books were released, I read each of those volumes like a lot. Like non-stop reading. I was reading it a lot. Not to mention I read number 1 to 3 like seasonally.
Be Beautiful.
Yeah. So that was like, I read that so many times because it was just like, this is what I only like, it's the only things we had to like savor. So it was refreshing. But yes, Naked Truth. Oh my gosh. That arc is one of my favorites because it's the part where Akihito is in Fei Long's arms away from Asami, and Asami has to get him back. That's got one of those like those heart things.
Because Fei Long pines for Asami.
Yeah, exactly.
Pines for and wants to kill Asami.
Yeah, it's like he has a love-hate like relationship, but it's mostly love. It just comes out as hate.
I feel like Fei Long knows that Asami didn't try to kill him, but if he faces that truth, then it's also like, oh,
I don't have anybody.
Like him. Oh,
yeah, I don't have anybody else to like, you know, to focus on. I don't have any of this like that. And then Asami made it really clear: I'm not your father. I'm not someone that you should hate. Like, you should spend your energies elsewhere. And Asami's like obsession was like focused on that. But it also made his relationship with Akihito so much more organic, because through that time, Akihito really is just a simple boy too, but he has his own quirks. He has his own like quality to it, and his youthfulness, like sort of like Eiji from like Banana Fish, sort of like his innocence is, he's not so innocent actually, but he's like, I'm just getting caught up with all of your like you guys like in your feud, and it's like, why is everyone picking on me?
Asami, even though he like can kill so easily if somebody like makes him angry, he also wants to save people from themselves. If, like, he stops Akihito from going after his friends or something.
Yeah, he actually does. Like,
tries, you know, to stop Fei Long from.
Yeah, like when during that behind the during their backstory.
To find his father or something.
Yeah, because he knows, like, you know, his father wasn't like the healthiest part of his past, and Asami was saying like he wanted to build a relationship, a yakuza relationship. He wanted to build a tie with the Baisa, which is like, you know, their group through Fei Long. So he saw Fei Long's potential because it was supposed to be Fei Long's other brother that was supposed to take over and all that kind of stuff.
If Fei Long is from Hong Kong, does he speak Cantonese?
They speak Cantonese.
Ah, so is when it says Baisha, is it like a boxer?
Yeah, it's White Snake, so.
Oh.
However you say White Snake. How do you say that again?
A boxe.
Boxe. Yeah. That's exactly what it is.
Well, I might have an American accent. That's so great. Speaking Chinese.
May's Cantonese comes out. Yay.
Bear.
Stop.
Oh, they should make a rival group called Bear.
Oh my god. You lost all respect for me already. I was gonna like be all happy and be like, yay, you're speaking Cantonese, legit Cantonese, and Bear comes out. And the Bear group is gonna be led by Guang Hong from Yuri on Ice.
Sure.
With his like,
hey, is a white bear a polar bear then?
Oh my god, it might be. White bear. Oh, instead of White Snake with White Bear? Should have come up. No, I can't imagine like Guang Hong holding a polar bear. I imagine just a regular teddy bear. Not like Yurio's boyfriend's teddy bear. That's Ted. That's,
oh yeah, totally, the eyebrows.
Yeah, he's got the eyebrows. That's totally Ted.
But Fei Long's story is so sad because it's like, after 7 years, he thinks Asami like, well,
betrayed
okay,
him.
Yeah, he like nobody. It never actually revealed like who killed his father, but I'm gonna assume if Asami did it, it was an accident. So like somehow he got in the way, because remember he was injured or something.
Yeah,
so if Asami did it, he didn't mean to, or but I don't think he did. I think his brother did.
No, it was it was his brother, it was someone else though. And because Fei Long just, he was unconscious, it was from volume 2, so he was unconscious during that time. And so his, because Asami just went there because he was actually looking for Fei Long. Sort of like when he was looking for Akihito, Asami was really nice because he was like, Fei Long disappeared from his villa. And so Asami went over to the Baisa's house, and he's like asking like his father, like, is Fei Long here? And that was the only reason why. Like,
and then his father didn't even care. Feel like, oh, if he's of no use to me, then he's dead.
Pretty much, yeah. I have to reread, like, that one. I think it was called Skyscrapers of Hong Kong or something like that.
Oh, I don't... Flower Atop a Spire?
Yeah, something like that. I'm getting confused because there is another BL called Skyscrapers of Oz. So I'm like...
Eh.
Yeah, that's why I'm like... I'm trying to remember of what happened over there.
So huge, because there was a message sent for Fei Long when he was staying with Asami.
Yeah, like, and Asami told him not to go, and then Fei Long was like, no, my dad is dying or something like that, I need to go back. But it turned out to be his bro that sent the message.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so Asami went there looking for him,
mm-hmm.
but what happened? Maybe he already left. And then, he didn't get there yet. And then his brother already did stuff. Maybe he killed the father already.
Yeah, something like that. It was like...
However, the brother said, like, Asami did it. So, you know, what's Fei Long supposed to think except that?
Yeah. And then that part I have to reread because I'm trying to remember. Because Fei Long...
They never show that part, like, who killed the father that he loves, not the other father.
Ah.
They never show, like, what really happened in that part. Mm. So... Either Asami did it, like, maybe the father got in the way, or the brother did it.
Oh.
But, like, the other one, his biological father, like, shot him, but Fei Long couldn't see that it wasn't Asami because Asami was standing right there.
Yeah.
So Fei Long just spends the whole time thinking Asami betrayed him, like, always.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't love me, and he tried to kill me, and he killed my father.
Yeah, pretty much. So we can understand why he was, like, so listless when he was in prison. But I like, I don't even can pronounce his name. Ye, that, Ye, I think is what his name is, Y-E, Ye.
Well,
he was the one that, I hate Japanese, like, names that created for Chinese. Some of them was really nice. Like, Fei Long was a beautiful name. Like, I have to see, like, the actual kanji is to see what is it they're trying to, like, do. But basically, Asami sent him into prison to protect or just look after, like, Fei Long. And then, like, he doesn't even know why he did that. I was like, why is this person so important to my boss? He's really loyal. Even being a double agent, he's super loyal. I feel like Asami chose really good subordinates. Aside from that one guy that he hired to took look after one of his clubs, that was in a later volume 6.
I probably read up to the end of this and then stopped because I got like, how do I call this? It's like because Junae couldn't like publish enough of its books to keep in like circulation or whatever, I always felt like I had to buy them right away, and then I stopped reading them because there's like so many, and then it's like whatever.
Yeah, you
like,
couldn't buy
this.
You couldn't buy it leisurely. That was the main problem.
Yeah.
So
that's because, what I gave up.
Yeah. Then we end up, as you said, you end up having so many books that you have to read now if you wanted to.
So then I just like, I think I might not have read anything after Naked Truth.
Oh. But yeah, afterwards,
I was
like,
scrolling through Junae's site. I'm like, this is depressing seeing everything that's sold out, but it's also not available digitally. It's like, you just can't get it.
Pretty much. Because yeah, there is still quite a catalog of stuff that they have.
Because I like how it's stamped sold out. So like, well, what? So you're never planning to print it again? Can you not have it then? Can somebody else have it?
Yeah, pretty much. But yeah, a lot of those licenses. So are the ones that they lost the license for, they pulled it out of their catalog already?
I mean, it would still be... I guess so. I didn't see Finder.
Oh.
Like, these are for stuff that I guess they still own. Like, under Grand Hotel, it says sold out, but I assume they still have the license or something. And I swear it used to have a digital version, and now it doesn't.
Damn. The book that I understand, I really do wish they would bring out the book again because it's one of the cult classics because it's really dark. It's about prisons in the U.S. And it's an interracial relationship, and it's like a really nice one. Okay, it's not really nice actually. There's a lot of like non-con in there.
Oh, like what's that game?
Absolute Obedience.
The other one.
Oh, Enzai.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a lot of that. But the thing is this, like, I don't understand this, and it's like a little off topic, but why did they license Underground Hotel and release it as a tiny ass book? Because it was really thick.
Shelf space?
Yeah, but doesn't make any sense because it is freaking tiny. It is like the size of my palm. It is really small. Okay, bigger than my palm, but you know, the size of my hand.
It's kind of like Japanese novel size, I guess.
Yes. Was it? Like, I felt like it was a little smaller, but yeah, it's around that size. But it was, like, really thick, and then I'm like, these words are really small, too. So, I was like, I'm glad they released it digitally. Was it digital release for Underground Hotel?
I mean, they had a digital release.
I remember they did. Because I was looking for the book, and then as I said, like, either Yume or Linda, like, gave it to me. So,
I
think it was you that gave it to me.
Ah, whatever, I'll get the digital one.
Yeah, pretty much. So, there was that. I still have them, obviously. All the books that you gave me, I still have. So, we still have the books. It's just that it's really small, it's hard to read, it's, like, really thick. Because they put it into two Tankobon versions, and I'm like, this omnibus versions are really, really big, really thick, but really small print. But anyways, yeah, back to Finder. Poor June has been releasing all these things.
Yeah, it's June's fault. I don't want to buy books anymore.
Okay, stupid June.
Yeah. Like physical books.
I have a lot of qualms with them, too. So I have a lot of qualms with them about censorship, too. But yes, Naked Truth. Yeah, a lot of my favorite parts about Finder, especially with Asami's, like, return into the scene, because he's, like, generally not there for Volume 4, but in Volume 5, he gets back into the, like, things start happening. He wants to go retrieve Akihito, and, like...
I was trying to remember it, because I already know who Ye is.
Yeah.
So when the part where he's on the phone and you don't know who he's talking to, I know already, because I remember from those years ago.
Yeah.
But I was trying to remember, like, how did I feel when I read it those years ago? Did I know? Like, did I realize who he was talking to?
Yeah, like, I sort of trusted Ye, because it wasn't just, like, him talking. Like, when he was talking to Akihito, I guess Like, those years ago, it's only, like, 6 years ago, I think, whenever this came out.
Good-looking guys like that, don't just get...
are usually good, right? They're not ugly. They're really cute. Yeah, because he actually said to Akihito, like, in Volume 4, like, don't you want to go back to Japan? Because at that time, we haven't... I forgot whether or not, like, we knew already that Ye was part of Asami's, like, crew. Because I don't think they met yet. Like, I don't think they have... Because there was, aside from the phone call, there was a time where Ye actually went to Asami. And Asami and Akihito... Asami is like, why didn't you just bring Akihito with you?
Well, I think the part where they say for sure that he's working for us, like, it's the phone call. So you only see Ye's end at first. So he's like... Because it was a part where Akihito, like, tried to run away, and then he found him sitting with Al. And then he's on the phone, and then he's like, he's maybe it was slightly before that, but he was like, he's mentally stressed, but otherwise fine or something. And then it reveals that he's talking to Asami.
Yeah. I remember now. Yeah, this was before he found Akihito again, because he hasn't realized that Akihito ran away again. Well, not again, but that one time he ran away.
Because I think, like, was it? It might have been that time right after Akihito, because Akihito was taken out back because he saw those guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, and those guys took him out back, and that's when Ye found them.
Yeah, it stopped him.
And then Akihito ran away. I think the phone call happens between then and when Ye sees him with Tao.
Yeah, yeah. So that one moment.
So I think, like, you're meant to think, you know, for those first few panels, he's talking to Fei Long. Like,
yeah.
You know, Akihito's fine. Just, like, but he's talking to Asami.
Yeah. Nice surprise. I like the part where they're in prison and Ye just, like...
That also explains why Asa... did he just forget to put Akihito back in chains? Or, like, because he was supposed to be...
in chains.
Handcuffed, leg cuffed to his bed or something, but yeah. It wasn't cuffed. That's why Akihito was able to get out. So, like, Ye did that on purpose.
I like where Tao just stops him from jumping. No, don't kill yourself.
So I'm not gonna kill myself. I'm gonna swim back to Japan.
Yeah, I was like, you're swimming in the wrong direction. That's Kowloon.
Also, I think you might die before you reach any of those places.
Yeah, I know. The sea in China, don't know. The China Sea is not too clean, you know? Sharks, stuff.
Probably also are not in the best mental or physical
condition to be, like, especially after Tao ate all his food.
Yeah.
I like how they just blame each other. Tao was like, this kid you brought back from Japan came demanding food. I fed him all the best stuff and he's still demanding food. And then Akihito just said to Feilong, was like, you know, like all the, like the food was good except Tao has been eating it.
I don't think he mentioned that. He just said like the what little food I got was good.
Yeah,
something.
Pretty much. I like that. Feilong just thinking like, what's wrong with you guys? Complaining all the time. Both of you. In the Dima translations, in the June translations, I believe, Tao speaks Japanese with an accent, meaning he spoke like broken Japanese. That's what they put in. Obviously, his Japanese, he doesn't have that many lines, but his Japanese got a little
bit
better.
Yeah, Sublime, I think it's also
a little
like,
bit, yeah.
Like an accented.
Accented, yeah.
Like he's missing some prepositions.
Words. Yeah, exactly. So, shows he has limited Japanese use. Glad they kept that. Well, yeah, like...
Oh, the smart kid speaks Chinese
and Japanese.
Chinese.
Yeah, little kid. I wish I'd, like, trilingual.
How old is he?
Quadlingual. 8 years old, I guess.
You ship future Tao and Feilong, right?
Huh?
You ship, like, future Tao and Feilong?
I never thought about that, but that's a good point. I would. No, because I do ship Ye with Feilong. Yeah. After that point, I really do ship those two together. But that's a really cute one, Tao and Feilong.
Future Tao.
8-year-old
Tao, not so good.
Yeah, maybe like 17-year-old Tao. Let's just put 10 years on him. And yeah, 17, 18-year-old Tao with Feilong. I think that would be nice. I can imagine like Tao being all grown up, taller than Feilong, pushes him down.
He's talking to Akihito. It's like, hey, remember when our masters used to bang each other?
Oh my god. Yes.
I don't think Akihito would call Asami his master.
Yeah. What's your favorite part of Naked Truth, anyway?
Like when he almost got shot.
Where the bullet grazed him?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think she wrote this in the afterword or the interview. Oh, because the part where he falls in the water, because the PTSD chapter where he almost drowned, and she was saying like, oh, she was gonna write that into that boat scene, but she still wanted them to do stuff after. And
yeah, and if he was like already, and he was like seriously like suffering from PTSD and everything, they can't have like such like makeup sex or something.
Well, if he had also drowned then too, almost like shot and then drowned.
Yo, but that didn't stop Asami from like sexing him up like in after he almost drowned though.
Well, that's
it was not immediately
he was
afterwards.
Healed
it was
healed mostly.
Yeah, he was healed mostly. Yeah, that would be
too
much.
I can't have him shot into the water
and then rescued, and then yeah. I'm glad that she did that way. Yeah, so. As your favorite. My favorite was the PTSD chapter afterwards, the tropical one. You know, she wrote two chapters about their island trip. Mm-hmm. So you had the sad chapter, which is the one that, not really sad, but you know, the reflective chapter, you know, with him suffering from trauma and everything. And then we have the one that's, I remember it to be the.
I like how Asami's hair is like all loose.
Huh?
Asami's hair is all loose.
Yeah, natural. He doesn't have to have it sleeked back. So yeah, like the happier island adventure one is in volume 6, I believe. Mm-hmm. It's the one where you'll love this because it was like it's not a heart chapter, but it's just pure smut. It's like basically Akihito's like, yeah, I like these massages, these like oil massages that we get, and then Asami's like, yeah, you're gonna give me one now. Yeah, that was fun. I love that one. But yeah, back to that one, the island one. It's like, I love it because Akihito has like, you know, is affected by what happened in Hong Kong.
Yeah, I like how he's like, all you people shooting each other like it's nothing.
Yeah, exactly. And that's true because it just shows how like morality is. Like he actually thinks about his own morality. And I love the fact that like in the island adventure ones, he gets to interact a lot with the bodyguards. It's like,
he's
it's
like,
really hot outside. Where you
something.
Can just come and
come swim with us.
Yeah, come swim.
Asami can't swim because he's injured.
Yeah, exactly. Because he's injured. Technically, Akihito's injured too.
He's got a bag over his hand.
He has a bag over his hand because of the tattoo removal. You know, tattoo removal, it actually isn't perfect. It takes a while for it to be perfect. It's a long ass while.
Scar?
It scars. It's because it's scar tissue. You're basically scarring. So magical BL, like whatever tattoo remove artist that Asami knows probably spends a lot of money on to get him like his hand in perfect condition.
It's sweet he got him a camera.
Yeah, and he got him a camera. And Asami doesn't know how to use it. A point and shoot.
Does he not know how to use it?
He was like, oh, it won't turn on. I was like, that's because it's the wrong setting.
I like those, like, Chief Takaba chapters.
What happened?
The Chief Takaba chapters.
Oh, my gosh.
The ones where they all work in a corporation.
Oh, yeah, those extra shorts. I'm trying to think about where those shorts are from, because that's the first time I read that one. The first time I read that one. So it's got to be, like... It's got to be from an omake from somewhere. It's definitely not from Pink Gold, because Pink Gold is much more graphic. Yeah, it's got to be an extra from somewhere. I just don't know from
where. Well, the Sublime ones have, like, because of the deluxe versions or something, they have, like, the extra ones that the Juné... Because I feel like the Juné ones would have been exactly what the Japanese one had.
Yeah.
And then, like, Sublime added those.
Yeah, so I'm just trying to think, like, where those extra things come from. Occasionally, like
first book had that threesome thing.
Yeah, exactly. Totally somewhere else. That's why some of them... I have to check what the love prizes are, because some of them are love prizes.
You know what I realized? Because original Be Beautiful would have been from, like, the... translated from the... first print, like, before the first company went out of business, right?
Yeah.
So it had, like, different author's notes than...
Yeah, they did. That's why I kept all of them. So I still have the original Be Beautiful ones, I have the Juné ones, and I have this one, the Sublime ones. Because they do have... the author interview also from the first two books. First book, I think, definitely had it. I think the second one also, but I'm not sure. Second one also had, like, I don't know...
Because I still remember the one where she said to look forward to all the action his butt will get or something.
Yes. It also had that thing. Yeah. And also, it had a little description. I think this was, this could be the Juné version. I think the Juné and the Be Beautiful both had these, which was like, oh, this is the description of Asami's, like, house, or, like, his backstory is, like, you know, this is his surroundings or something like that. Yeah, I remember there was, like, a bunch of words and, like, little pictures describing his, like, everyday surroundings, like the schedule or something like that. But yeah, Sublime seems to take out a lot of stuff. I put in a lot of stuff from everywhere. I'm looking forward to see, like, what else they're gonna have in the other chapters too. Because I know later on, I think 5, 6, and 7, the ones I actually read a lot of, has the love prize, even though the booklets that came with the books. I'm glad they put those in there, so we have those. Just a lot of those other extra story thingies, which is really cute. I love those.
Like Asami says things that are good for people. It's like... Takaba wants to help his friends, and Asami's like, well, if I help your friends, these other people will get killed. So
yeah.
If you want to do that, I could help you. I don't care.
Yeah. But Asami's very logical, too. And he does a lot of things about for people that he really cares about. Yeah, which is few and in between, which is really surprising for being, like, you know, a mafia overlord.
The interview, she said Bei Long was meant to be killed off, but people liked
him. Yeah, people loved him, and then so they kept him. And he was only in, like, you know, one chapter for the first one. He was just in that one just to get the film, the microfilm, and to be, like, you know, to butt rape Akihito, and that was it.
I don't remember. I think when I was reading it this time, and then I was thinking about how I... Like, when I read it, like, whatever, years ago, and I was thinking, I thought I remembered more stuff happening, but I feel like not very much happens, like, between 1 and 5. It's like, oh, Akihito runs into Asami a few times and then gets kidnapped for a long time until they're reunited.
Pretty much, yeah. That's why, like, in Volume 1, like, he only runs into him, like, a few times. That was it.
I think it feels like more stuff is happening the longer time you have to wait between each volume. It's like, afterwards, I'm like, not that much happened between them.
Yeah, honestly, because nothing really happened in Volume 2, because the Volume 2 was the backstory. And Volume 3 basically was Fei Long decides to, like, just kidnap him. Yeah, and the only reason why he did that was, like, oh, Asami went into my compound to take Akihito back for himself that one time. And so Akihito went and looked for Asami on his own instead of the opposite. But don't forget, we also had like some other stuff, which was like the New Year's episode or something like that. Which
the one where he gets drunk.
Where he gets drunk, yeah. It was in between that time. So if we added all the times where Akihito finds
Why
stalks
Why does he keep
Asami
picking up the phone?
During the New Year's episode?
Yeah, he picked up and was like, you need to stop.
Yeah, exactly. You're drunken. Yeah. I think it's like all the little stuff that we don't get to see. I'm sure there's like a lot of those little things that's going on.
Yeah.
Because first, in Volume 1, they bumped into each other a lot. So Asami purposely goes to Akihito's house one time.
What did he say? He's like, I'm here to get out from the rain.
Yeah, pretty much. It was like in the middle of the night.
I was wondering, he doesn't really go places alone because he has bodyguards, right? Are his bodyguards waiting downstairs for him?
He's like, pretty much. In the rain, by the way. In the rain, don't forget.
I mean, I'm sure they're in a car.
In his car. Yeah, I'm sure there's like all the stuff that we have in, like all the little tidbits that we see in between the New Year's episode, the part where Akihito is like stalking. Because don't forget, there was this, there was also, what was it? It was an extra from the drama CDs, Akihito's report about Asami. So Akihito purposely put him in Asami's view because he's the one that was stalking Asami all day. So Akihito purposely, like, you know, goes out to, like, pick on Asami. Asami's like, I know of you. You're around. I have my eye on you. So afterwards, like, we can imagine that to be happening between Volumes 1 and Volumes 3.
So the one where he accidentally ran in front of his car, was Asami just following him around?
No, I feel like Asami just, like, they're in Shinjuku. They're in Tokyo. It's just so big. You can just run into people randomly. Not really. But later on, we know that Asami's been keeping tags on Akihito. Like, doesn't matter where he goes, like, Asami would know. So their relationship's gonna grow. We're gonna continue this conversation next time when we have, like, you know, read more. And we'll do another Finder episode. That's all the time we have for today. We'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye.